Sterling High School Radio proud to present Camden River Sharks baseball. Here tonight, it'll be the Lancaster Barnstormers and the Camden River Sharks. I'm Tad Kosniewski, Kevin Sewells, joined by Matt Giambri as we get set to get this game off for you. Let's give you the starting lineup first for the Barnstormers. Batting first and playing shortstop, Omar Rosario. Batting second, playing center field, Jerry Owens. Batting third and playing second base, Travis Denker. Batting fourth, playing first base, Darryl Ward. Batting fifth and right field, Ryan Harvey. Batting sixth, the left fielder, Blake Gallen. Batting seventh, the DH, Kevin Howard. Batting eighth, the third baseman, Cody Kirkland. And batting ninth, the catcher, Gustavo Molina. For the River Sharks today, batting first, playing left field, Yasser Gomez. Batting second, the shortstop, Patty Matera. Batting third, the second baseman, Delwin Young. Batting fourth, the first baseman, Raul Padron. Batting fifth, the DH, Johnny Drennan. Batting sixth, the catcher, Solomon Manriquez. Batting seventh, the right fielder, Chris Walker. Batting eighth, third baseman, Juan Martinez. And batting ninth, Burt Reynolds in center field today. Your pitcher for the River Sharks today, Kevin, Manny Mayerson. Or check that, Mike McGuire is your starting pitcher today.
Mike McGuire, tall right-hander. Again, right now, the River Sharks and the Barnstormers, both teams are in a situation where they're just looking for guys to step up. And the one thing in this type of league that you have is you have one half of a season, then you have a second half of a season where you have somebody finishing first and second for the first half. The second half, I mean, you could conceivably finish last in the first half, come back, finish first in the second half, and you're going to end up getting into the playoffs. So it's not like the major leagues where it's one whole year and you have a continuous record going right through till the end of the season.
And the pitcher, McGuire, comes in with an ERA of 5.58. He is 1-1. He's pitched 19 innings, given up 21 hits, 13 runs, 12 of them earned. He has walked 8 and struck out 12. It's an overcast day here at Campbell's Field, and we're just about set for our first batter of the day for the Barnstormers. 70 degrees and cloudy as we start this one. As Omo Rosario will lead things off, comes in hitting .316, four doubles, a triple, and a homer. He has 10 runs knocked in. River Sharks with the home blue tops with the white bottoms. The visiting Barnstormers all gray with the red trim. Pretty good crowd. About half capacities were set for the first pitch. McGuire ready. First pitch in there for a called strike.
Yeah, and a quick look at McGuire's stats, you see more strikeouts than walks, and that's one thing you always want to see in a starter, and does a good job there getting that first pitch strike, getting ahead of the hitter.
One strike pitch, fastball in there for called strike two. So quickly, two strikes by McGuire.
And Zara gives a quick look back at the umpire. I think he thought that one was a little bit high.
So no balls and two strikes to Omo Rosario, just leading things off the game here at Campbell's Field as the sun begins to poke out just a little bit behind the clouds here in this overcast day. Here's a two-strike pitch. Fastball grounded up the middle. Tough play for the shortstop, Matera. He won't get it. It trickles into center field for a base hit. And, Matt, that's probably not the kind of pitch the pitcher was looking for there.
Yeah, no, he left that one a little up, and he just put it right up the middle.
So with one out, a runner at first, here comes the center fielder, Jerry Owens. Jerry comes in hitting .308. He has a double, a triple, and six runs knocked in. He's going to bat from the left-hand side.
But Tad, you had mentioned that, you know, it's at half capacity right now, really starting to fill up, and it's a nice day. And I'll tell you what, I know a lot of people out there listening off the audience probably have been here, but this is just a great park, great sight lines with the bridge over the outfield fence, and I don't think there's a bad seat in the house here, as is the case with a lot of the minor league stadiums.
Rosario takes his lead off first. He does have two stolen bases. It's a sacrifice bunt by Owens. Looks at second, throws the first. Sacrifice just in time to get Owens, who was speeding down the first baseline.
Now, that's the smart play you do there. Get the leadoff. Leadoff hitter was on. Get him over to second. And for a second there, you thought McGuire actually had a shot to get Rosario. Thought twice about it. Just got the out at first.
So Rosario moves up to second with one out after sacrifice bunt. That brings to the plate Travis Denker. Denker hitting .269, has nine doubles. That leads the team. Two homers, 15 runs knocked in. That also leads the team. He bats on the right-hand side. So runner at second base, one out here in the top of the first inning. No score. Just underway here on Sterling Radio. Denker fairly deep in the box as he steps in. McGuire from the stretch. And the pitch. Off-speed pitch, his first off-speed pitch in there for a called strike.
And you look at Denker, a guy who's got a little bit of pop in his bat. I'm really surprised that when you look at center field, you see Reynolds there playing kind of shallow. So Denker's able to get a hold of something. I mean, he could stretch it out to a triple.
From the belt, here's the one-strike pitch. Fastball fouled out of play into the crowd, and you can hear a lot of the young students in the background as that goes foul.
And I think Denker thought he got a pitch right there he could hit. Looked like it was on the inner half of the plate. And Mr. K, you always talk about moving different sides of the plate, but if it's in the inner part, you don't want to have too much of the plate. You want to get it in towards the corner, inside corner of that plate.
So McGuire has a 0-2 count to Denker. Man on second again. One out here in the top of the first. No score. Calling time and stepping out is Denker. Didn't like the duration McGuire took on that one.
Rosario had a dancing lead over there at second.
Pretty good spot. The shortstop, Matera, plays him way over to pull on the third base side. There's a lot of room right up the middle if it gets by McGuire. McGuire from the stretch. And the 0-2 pitch. Runner is going. Fastball gets away from the catcher. The runner's going to steal third. It bounces right back to the catcher. So actually goes in the book as a steal for Rosario as he steals third.
And, it's a shame he missed it because that's a good ball, a good pitch for the catcher to get. It was up high, a little bit high and outside, right where he can catch it and get a good quick release to third. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to get a handle on it.
Umpiring crew of three out there tonight. Normally the minors has two. They have a third umpire, one umpire at first, one at third, and of course one behind the plate. 1-2 now to Denker. The pitch. Curveball swung through, strike three.
Yeah, he fooled him with that pitch.
And we always talk, Matt, when you have the curveball, obviously that's going to have a lot of movement, but it looked like the change of speeds was the one thing that really threw Denker off on that one.
Yeah, it messes up hitters a lot when you can control your speeds.
Here's Darryl Ward to the plate, playing first base today, hitting .315. That leads the team. He has two doubles, four homers, 11 runs knocked in. Bats from the left-hand side, a big young man. Digs his left foot all the way on the back of the box. They play him pretty much straight away. Two outs, runner third, no score. First pitch, misses low, 1-0. Pretty good when your fourth hitter can hit .315.
Yeah.
Only two hitters, actually three hitters in the lineup hitting over .300. The first, second, and fourth hitters. Here's the 1-0 pitch. Fastball off the corner for a ball. It's 2-0.
Well, when you see, and it's funny you mentioned that, Tad, when you see a guy like this in the four hole, your cleanup hitter, a big guy, obviously with a lot of pop in his bat, the high average tells me that he's willing at times to shorten up his stroke and when he's down in the count, get the ball the other way.
Fastball missing high. Count goes 3-0 to Ward. Again, we're in the top of the first inning. No score. Runner on third base. That's Rosario. Went to third. That's in there for a strike on a fastball. It's 3-1. Rosario single was bunted to second and stole third.
Good hitter's count right here, 3-1. Ward has to think he's going to get something to hit right here.
3-1 pitch. Fastball missing outside. So that'll put runners in the corners with two outs.
And that might be a situation here with two outs. You did have a base open, although you have a runner at third maybe. McGuire felt like he wanted to go with the righty-righty matchup here. With Ryan Harvey stepping up to the plate, the right fielder.
Harvey comes in hitting .231, three doubles, a triple. He has five homers. That does lead the team. So runners at the corners, two outs here, top of the first inning, just underway. We have no score. Ward takes his lead off first. McGuire ready. Here's the pitch. Curveball in there for a called strike. Good off-speed pitch again there, Matt.
Yeah, that you can tell he wasn't expecting that one, first pitch.
Completely froze Harvey in the box. And you got to pitch him careful. Five home runs on the year. McGuire from the stretch, off-speed pitch, served into center field, an easy play for Burt Reynolds to center field. The ball really carrying as Reynolds had to run back. It was a real weak swing, but the catch is made by Reynolds. So no damage done in the inning. There were two base runners and no runs. We move to the home half of the first inning. We have no score. You're listening to River Sharks Baseball on Sterling High School Radio. And welcome back to Campbell's Field as the River Sharks get set to bat here in the home half of the first. Off pitcher Horacio Ramirez, a left-hander, comes in with an ERA of 18.00. This is his second game. He's pitched one inning, given up three hits, two earned runs, one walk, and one strikeout. So the Sharks coming in with a record of 8-18, and early on this looks like a pitcher, just even though he's had one inning, Kevin, has struggled a bit.
Absolutely, just trying to find his way. And, you know, I have to like, you're talking about pitching, what Mike McGuire was able to do in that first inning, other than getting the ball out over the plate after getting the two strikes on Rosario and having him hit the single up the middle. Obviously, Rosario moving to third. I like the way he mixed up his pitches. I mean, the key pitch, I think, was that strikeout to Dankler.
Here's Yasser Gomez to lead things off for the Sharks, hitting 269 with the double and seven runs knocked in. He takes a fastball in the corner for a called strike. Gomez batting from the left side. It'll be Gomez, Matera, and Young here in the home half of the first with no score. Quickly pitching down to short. Here's Rosario. He charges, long throw. Oh, wow. I was going to say safe. I thought that Gomez beat that, and he is arguing with the umpire right now. I think he clearly beat that.
Yeah, that was a close play.
And that's a play where you have Gomez coming from the left side of the plate and with a lot of speed going down the line. Wasn't hit that hard the other way.
He's still
on. I think they underestimated his speed.
Rosario charged it. It wasn't a hard hit ball. He flipped it over to first. And, again, I was about to call him safe from up here, and I think that's kind of the way we all saw it up here.
Yeah, it looked like he beat it out.
The umpire had to come over to talk to the Sharks head coach. He didn't like the way some of that conversation went. Nonetheless, he is out for the first out of the inning. And here's Paddy Matera, the shortstop, the plate. Paddy hitting .298, seven doubles, a triple, and four homers. That leads the team. First pitch to him is a fastball low, 1-0. I like the way Ramirez pitches. He pretty much just catches and throws. Here's the next pitch. Fly ball, right center field, hit fairly deep, but there'll be a play on it. Right fielder Harvey there, and he squeezes it for the second out.
Got a nice, Ramirez has a nice live fastball. I mean, both hitters here hitting the ball the opposite way. And again, a guy like that, and you look at his high ERA, you don't know for sure, but that tells you probably he needs to be, get himself in a situation where he mixes things up from a location and speed standpoint.
Well, if Matera was the featured power hitter, here's the featured hitter for average. Delwin Young, a second baseman, hitting .385, has a double, a triple, nine runs knocked in on the year. He comes in, nobody on base, two outs, home half of the first. We have no score. First pitch to him, fastball in there for a called strike. I checked that, missed it. Got to get my balls and strikes together here. So one ball to Young. On education day here at the ballpark, you hear a lot of the young students getting into it there. Next pitch, that is in there for a strike. It's 1-1.
Yeah, this pitcher's really retired the side so far, not wasting many pitches.
Coming right back at him again, off-speed pitch, misses away. May have been a changeup. 2-1.
Yeah, Ramirez, a left-hander. As you said, Mr. K, works very quickly. Got a good live arm, real good fastball. Looks like it's got a lot of movement on it.
2-1 pitch into right center field. Hit pretty hard. Harvey back, though, and he will make the play. It was hit on a line by Young, but a good job out there by Harvey to make the play. We have played one inning from Campbell's Field here on Sterling Radio. We have no score. You're listening to Minor League Baseball on Sterling High School Radio.
And welcome back to Campbell's Field, ladies and gentlemen. No score between the Camden River Sharks and the Lancaster Barnstormers. Rob Strauss here along with Sean Cowling and Frank McClosey as we get ready for the top half of the second inning. And guys, it's just a real quick bottom of the first for the River Sharks.
Yeah, the pitcher was really dealing in the in that part of the inning. Three up, three down, real simple. Pitch count did not go very high, so Barnstormers are playing very well. Pitching is going very well so far.
Due up for Lancaster, you have the left fielder Blake Galen, the DH Kevin Howard, and the third baseman Kirkland. as Blake Galen steps into the box.
Yeah, Mr. Strauss, you see Horacio Ramirez with a 7-pitch bottom of the first.
It's impressive at any level. So we get ready for the top half of the second inning here on Sterling High School Radio. Blake Galen sets in, and the pitch from McGuire. Showing bunt does Galen, gets it down the first baseline, and is he going to make it in time? He does. The first baseman, Padrone, flips to McGuire, who was covering. Nice play for the first out. 3-1 on the putout if you're scoring back at home. That's going to bring the DH, Kevin Howard, up to the plate. So, again, two consecutive half innings where you have close calls at first base. That first base umpire down the line really getting a workout here early on. And the first pitch from McGuire on the way to the right-handed Kevin Howard. He's in there for a ball. The 1-0. Second pitch is sky high down the third baseline. In foul territory is Martinez, and he makes the catch for the second out. Both pitchers really, really quick, some quick outs here.
See, just three pitches through two batters. McGuire really rolling along.
That'll bring up Cody Kirkland, the third baseman. Kirkland on the year, batting 190 in 63 at bats, has 12 hits and three doubles, and just as many home runs as well as he faces strike one. Again, no score here in the top of the second. Live from Campbell's Field as the River Sharks taking on the Lancaster Barnstormers as Kirkland looks, or outside, ball one. 1-1 the count to Kirkland. The pitch on the way, dribbler towards third, or to short rather, and Matera makes the play to Padrone, who tags the runner Kirkland. The throw actually drew Padrone off the bag, but nice job by Padrone to tag him out, and that's going to do it for the top half of a very, very quick second inning. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left on. We're going to move to the bottom of the second. It's still no score here from Camden.
Hey, Sharks fans. Back here. Action about to get underway. 2013 baseball camps for the summer. Three sessions. There will be one June 24th to the 27th, July 29th to August 1st, August 26th to 29th. Each session is $180 per camper. Campers will receive an official camp t-shirt, lunch every day, membership to the River Sharks Kids Club presented by Pizza Hut. You get to learn from the players on the team, get to learn a little bit, try to work on your game. So with any questions, you can call Kim Perno at 856-831-0431. She is the group account manager.
And thank you very much, Frank, for that information. And a great opportunity for people to come down to this gorgeous field here at Campbell's Field. Very, very well-maintained field. I know Mr. K got an opportunity to play a couple games here, and just a great facility here in Camden, New Jersey. As we get set for the bottom of the second inning, very, very quick game so far. Camden, three up, three down in that bottom half of the first. Due up for the River Sharks, Raul Padrone, Johnny Drennan, and Solomon Manriquez. Padrone enters the game, batting 295 as first pitch in there for a strike. Pair of home runs and 15 RBIs, which is second on the team. Second pitch outside, ball one, evens the count. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left on base for the River Sharks. Still looking for their first hit of the game as this next pitch bounces about a foot and a half in front of the catcher, Molina. And bring the count to 2-1. Padrone, eight walks on the season, which is tied for the team lead as he looks at strike two. 2-2 to count to Padrone. Some rain earlier in the morning is since thinned out as Padron goes down swinging for the first out. That is the 13th strikeout on the season for Raul Padron. And that'll bring up the DH, Johnny Drennett.
Raul Padron kind of in a zone right now, four up, four down so far. Not pitch count very low. He's working very well so far.
Drennan batting .229 on the year, 19 RBIs. That leads the team. First pitch right down the first baseline, just foul. Just hopped about 6 inches to the right side of the first base bag. And had that gone on the other side of the bag, that would have been extra bases.
We, Mr. Strauss, look at players here in the Atlantic League. Some come from the majors, some trying to make their way to the majors, trying to make a career for themselves.
Second pitch outside, ball two. And it's shot right up the second base line, or right through second base, and that's going to be in for a base hit. And that was Eduardo Perez. They made a substitution. That's what we were trying to figure out. They had called Drennan out there, but they bring out number 14, Eduardo Perez. So Perez is on first base with a hit. It's the River Sharks' first of the afternoon. And that'll bring up Salomon Manriquez, the catcher. Manriquez batting .294 on the season. And strokes one down the third base line, and it could be two here. It is to second for one, and then completes the double play. 5-6-3 on the putout, and the Sharks go down in order again for the second consecutive inning. That's going to do it for the second inning. No runs, one hit. No errors, and none left on. That's going to do it for the second. We'll be back for the top of the third right after this.
Hello, and welcome back to Shawnee High School Radio. We are recapping the Camden River Sharks. I'm here with Matt Giambri and Mr. Schulz. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Great day. Like we said earlier, it didn't look like that early on. I mean, we had even doubts if this game was even going to be played early on when it was pouring rain, but the weather forecast was promising, said it would clear up, and sure enough, it did.
Yeah, this has been a very quick-moving game so far. A lot of 1-2-3 innings.
I had just ran down to go get some food. I had to sprint right back up. It was a quick 1-2-3 inning, in and out.
And to that, you guys as players can talk about what it's like, how good it is playing behind a pitcher that works quickly and throws strikes.
If somebody throws very effectively, it is hard to keep up with him. But he is doing his job. He is getting batters out. He's making outs. He's doing what he needs to do. He's getting the job done.
And on defense, that's exactly what you want, because you don't want to be sitting out in the field for a long time. So you like a pitcher who throws strikes.
Okay, well, up the bat here, we have number 5, Gustavo Molina, the catcher. First pitch. And it's a called ball.
Molina's batting .154 this year.
Second pitch. And it's up second base between first and second. Right fielder will field it on the ground. That will put Molina on first.
Not a big problem for McGuire. You know, he got Rosario, the leadoff hitter, to get on the first inning and got out of it. And even in that hit right there, it was on the outer part of the plate. Nice job by the hitter going out after it and hitting where it's pitched.
Yeah. Rosario last time up the bat, right up the middle, got a single out of it. It's in the stretch. Comes set. And it's a foul tip.
Of course, we see the name Molina when we look at our base runner first. You think and wonder, Coach Kay and I were wondering if he had any relation to the Molinas from the Cardinals, the Major League Molina family.
Yeah, and he's a catcher, too.
Yep.
Always a possibility. Comes set. And it's a ball. High.
Rosario, a guy you want to keep off the base, is obviously the last time up. Got the third, showed a lot of speed. Of course, they were able to time up there, keep them there, and he wasn't able to score, but very good runner.
And that's another ball.
Counts 2-1 now. good hitter's count.
2-1, you want to try and look for something that's in your zone. If it's not, try and foul it off.
With the leadoff batter getting on, now you just want to look at getting him to second so he's in scoring position.
And it's a chopper to first.
Looks like it's a
second. And it's a double play. Barnstormers made the double play.
Yeah, that was a weak ground ball to first base, and he just did a good job with turning that and getting back in time to get him out of first.
And the advantage there to be able to get that so quickly was that he was holding the runner on. You come off in front of the bag, you're right there to make that play. Turned real nice, made that throw to second.
And we have a left foot, Jerry Owens up, number 21. Last time up a bat, put down a sacrifice bunt. Let's see what'll do this to bat. Pitcher's in the windup.
He's looking to start a two-out rally here and get a hit. Hopefully get something going.
And it's a called strike. As a pitcher, you want to be able to get your first pitch strike. You want to be able to get that first strike so you can work up from there.
Yeah, it's always good to put a hitter in the...
Oh, and a great hit to center. And that will put Jerry Owens on first. Two outs here in the third.
Coming up now is Travis Decker, who struck out last at bat.
And I don't think McGuire's making bad pitches at all because, you know, you're seeing him get the ball for the most part on the outer part of the plate, but just a good job by the hitters hitting the ball the other way.
Yeah, it's always a safe option. Get a lot of hits going the other way.
And he is locating his pitches. It's just that, you know, the River Sharks are doing their job of placing the ball effectively.
So we got two outs here, man on first.
Pitcher comes set. And a pick off the first, and he's safe.
And I'll talk to what we saw with the Knights last week against West Stepford. Sterling adjusted in the middle part of that game, hit the ball the other way, put the ball in play. West Stepford didn't. Sterling comes away with an 11-0 win.
It's always good to have a shutout. And that's a ball. Low.
Counts 1-0 now.
You can never miss when you throw it low. When you throw it low, nothing that a hitter can do with that.
Now, that's what they always say. Pitching coaches say keep the ball down.
Pitch outside, and it's a foul tip off the roof of Campbell's Field. Wow.
And as we were coming in, you know, we look at that bridge from here, it looks like that big pylon's hittable. But when you're standing out there in the outfield, it was about 250 feet away from the outfield fence. So it's very deceiving when you're sitting behind home plate here.
Yeah, it'd be very hard to hit that.
Mantle first takes his lead. Pitcher comes set. And it's a pass ball. He will take second. He's rounding second. And he'll go back. Did not want to try for three on that.
Yeah, you saw McGuire being real frustrated on that one. And, you know, you want your catcher to be able to block and keep everything in front of them. And that really basically could change the way you're pitching. If you have somebody on third and it's an 0-2 count, you might think twice about throwing that waste pitch away in the dirt if you feel like you have a catcher that can't get in front of it. Block it.
Yeah, it's important for a pitcher to have trust in a catcher because that changes up how you go about a batter.
Pitcher comes set. Looks a man on second back. Goes to the plate.
Ooh.
And it's a nice hit ball. And that will be a two-run home run.
Man, he got all that one.
Travis Denker with a missile to left field over the fence.
Gives the Barnstormers a 2-0 lead.
And left fielder Galen, you know, Mr. Kane coming up here said, one good thing in talking to play-by-play guys, look at the outfielder. Well, Galen didn't move. He just looked up.
Yeah, he looked up, saw it was over.
Yeah, he knew that one was out.
I'm going to watch the cars out there.
A shot, and it still didn't come close to hitting the bridge. So we were right in our calculations before the game.
So top of the third, we get some runs across the board. It's now 2-0, the Barnstormers. And up at bat is Ryan Harvey. Oh, nope, sorry. Darryl Ward's up at bat.
And that will be a called strike. Low and outside.
He walked his last at bat.
Let's see what he's willing to produce this at bat. To the plate, swing and a miss.
Yeah, and this is, you know, one of the top hitters in the team, top power hitters. Right now you're in a situation where nobody on base. I mean, obviously they got the two runs across, but you have to think that he's really going to kind of try to pitch around Ward a little bit.
And that is a pop fly. Looks like the third baseman will be there to field a can of corn. And he makes the catch. Well, that right there is the third inning. You are listening to the Camden River Sharks here on WSHS, Sterling High School Radio.
Hey, we got some 2013 ticket plans going on right now. We have a full season for 100 level seats. It's $595 per seat. For 200 level, it's $525 per seat. And upper club is $700 per seat. You can contact at 1-866-SHARKS-9.
Well, and we're back here. It appears to be ball thrown in the dirt for ball one.
Well, the difference in this game was Denker with the home run. And we knew coming in this game, he's a kid with a lot of pop in his bat. Doesn't have a high average, strikes out a lot. But at this level, if you leave the ball out over the plate, you're going to have happen with Denker was able to do to get the good part of the bat on the ball and hit a shot to left.
Last pitch was a called strike, and then this was just a called strike. That will make the count 1-2 to Chris Walker.
Yeah, that was Denker's third home run in the season. So
just barely fouled on the third base line. Almost made it over. Not quite.
And it's interesting, Denker, if you guys remember the first time up, McGuire really mixed things up, threw a lot of off-speed pitches to him. Mixed in with a couple fastballs and really had him off balance. But you get that fastball out over the plate to a guy like Dankler, and he's going to make you pay for it.
Comes the pitch, and it's
pop
fly. Who will field it? They need to call each other off. And here comes the third baseman in here for the catch, number 8.
A little confusion on that one. The pitcher is looking at the catcher. Catcher is looking back, and third baseman came in and called it all off.
So that's the moment where somebody needs to yell, who's got it, who's got it, and they need to call it. But they made the out. I will make one down here. Now we have Juan Martinez up.
Yeah, the River Sharks are struggling to get the leadoff man on base.
Pitch is a called strike. And the pitch, and it is a foul ball, third base side.
He's quickly 0-2 on this batter.
And Ramirez,
see what he does.
Ramirez isn't mixing things up too much from a velocity standpoint, but he's mixing up his location. I think that's what's keeping hitters off balance. You saw right there in the outer part of the plate, not going the right way, pulling a weak foul ball.
And it is a drop third strike. He tug him. That will make it 2 down.
And Matt, as I told you, the kiss of death is, as I said, he's sticking with the fastball. What's he do right there? Goes with the breaking ball.
Yep.
Yeah. But this Horatio is doing a great job of locating his pitches. He's not doing so much changing up the type of pitch. He's just, like you said, changing his location, which if you can do that effectively, it makes yourself an effective pitcher.
And then as you can see right there, when he does throw all speed, he got him chasing.
Reynolds up the bat will swing high, a check swing. That will make it a strike.
And when you see somebody swinging a pitch like that, that tells you they're... He's into their head with the velocity, and they're starting to swing a little bit early right there.
And another called strike. Well, another thing with those high fastballs is that they always look great to hit. You can never hit them, though.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
Well, that's another thing. In addition to the location, it looks like Ramirez has got a lot of movement on his ball. It looks like it might tail out a little bit.
And that's a ball. That will make the count 1-2 to Reynolds.
Let's see if he goes all speed here.
I think he would. And it is a fly ball. Hit the center. Actually, more hit the left, but the center fielder will call him off. Good communication there.
So that wraps up that inning.
And that will make it the end of the third. You're listening to the Camden River Sharks here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio.
And welcome back to Campbell's Field, everyone. Frank McClosey joined by Sean Calling. And soon to be joined by Mr. K. We have a special guest inside the booth right now. Finley, the Sharks mascot, is in right now. Taking some pictures, doing a little photo ops. Enjoying ourselves here on a what's turning out to be a very nice day. Rained earlier, as we spoke about. A little bit of thunder right now. Clouds cleared. Sun's trying to come out. A little bit cloudy. You can see some blue skies. But still, game going well. For those of you who are just tuning in, it is 2-0 Lancaster. Last inning. Home run. There was a big home run by, let me see, can't find it here.
I believe it was Travis Danker.
Yeah, that hit
home over the left field wall.
There it is.
Horacio Ramirez, one hit through three innings so far, really rolling them on.
Was a pitching duel a little bit until that home run. That was a very deep shot as Mr. K coming in now after the photo ops with Finley, the mascot.
Yeah, got to get your picture with the mascot.
Always. And we are back under action as it is 1-1 now. Ryan Harvey is up, right fielder. Here comes the pitch. It is fouled away.
Yeah, he went after the fastball there off the plate, and that's a pretty good pitch by McGuire. He was way behind that one.
Count is 2-1.
You see today's pitchers in much contrast. Ramirez with one hit through three innings. Mike McGuire, two wild pitches, that home run at Danker. It's really hurting him.
Fouled away again.
And it came back with the same pitch there. Fastball off the plate and fouled off the right side up into the luxury boxes on the right side.
And Ramirez getting set. I'm sorry, McGuire getting set.
Harvey 0-1, flew at the center field.
And first almost inning. Caught by the third baseman as it gets tipped away. And we are going into second base now. Not sure if that's going to be scored as an error. It's going to be an error on the third baseman, right off his glove.
They scored that actually on that. It's a tough play. It was hit so hard. They're going to score it a hit. The third baseman, Martinez, dove for it. Just got a piece of it off his glove. It rolled all the way in the bullpen down the left field line. So now Harvey on second, and the Sharks and the Barnstormers in some business here.
Very good attempt by the third baseman. Just missed it. Blake Galen up to bat now, the left fielder. That is taken for a ball. 1-0 the count.
Galen 0-1, lined up third his first time up.
McGuire waiting for the sign. He's set. Check second. Here's the pitch. And that is taken for a strike. 1-1 the count.
McGuire's got to be very careful here with Galen. They are playing him the opposite way. If he gets one inside and can pull on it, he's going to run a long way. He's got a lot of room down that right field line.
You see Harvey inching off from second.
And it's a ball. And count to 2-1.
You can see that was away as well. They're working him away. They're looking for him to slap the ball the other way. Get a ground ball if they can.
Wire set. And the pitch. That is taken for a ball. 3-1.
He's not missing by much.
No, not at all. He's getting it in there. This ump's calling the strike zone very good. So, see what happens right here. And the pitch taken away. That is going to be ball four. So, man on first and second for the third bait for the designated hitter, Kevin Howard.
Guys, this is probably a bunting situation. That's why the catcher, Manriquez, is coming out. You have the first two runners on, nobody out. The seventh hitter's up. And third baseman coming in, Martinez, is third. They're looking for a bunt here.
Would not be surprised. Try to advance the runners there. You have a 2-0 lead, but you need all the runs you can get. You never know what's going to happen. Here comes the pitch from McGuire, and it is taken. Looking to turn two, gets one, and there is a double play.
Well, guys, that's the chance you take when you don't bunt in this situation. It was a tailor-made double play ball, Young to Matera over Padron, an easy double play. And the Sharks get some help there as moving up to third base is Harvey, but now with two outs.
Yeah, Harvey moving to third. Two outs, like you said, Mr. K, not bunting in that situation. You could easily advance the runners, but you go for the hit, turn the double play.
Cody Kirkland 0 for 1, ground out at the shortstop his first time up.
First pitch is taken for a ball.
Good job by McGuire there. Came in with the curveball to start. They've been sitting on a lot of first pitch fastballs.
Second pitch, called ball, 2-0.
And McGuire a little bit off in his pitching this inning, kind of working a little further off the plate than he did in the first and the second.
And there is a swinging strike one. Fastball in there. And McGuire is waiting for Kirkland to get set. Waiting for the sign. Here comes the pitch. And he swings and fouls it back right to where a group of kids were. It looks like everything's okay.
Yeah, there's a screen behind home plate, and that went a couple feet to the right of the screen. I had some mustard on it, too.
And there's a group of kids sitting there, like we said, education day here at the ballpark. But it looks like everyone's okay. Fan gets to go home with a little souvenir.
Almost a nice bruise, too.
Oh, yeah. That came steaming back behind home plate. 2-2 the count. Here comes the pitch. And it is flied to right field. Going back into foul territory, and it is caught. And that is going to do it for the top half of the fourth inning.
Sharks fans, come out to the 2013 River Sharks Overnights presented by Farmers Insurance June 7th, June 28th, July 26th, and August 2nd. Gates open at 6 p.m. Game time 7:05. Sleep in the outfield of Campbell's Field.
That sounds like a real neat event.
Oh, it is. When I was younger, I got to do that. I did it a couple times with the Cub Scouts. It's really nice. They put a movie on the big screen. I don't know if they still do it now, but got to sleep in the outfield. I think we got to watch a game as well. Movie on the big screen. But thank you, Sean. Frank McClosey, Mr. K, Sean Callen here, going to the bottom half of the fourth inning.
And the sun has just peeked its head out behind us behind home plate. And that was a bit of an issue in the game we were here last month, because the sun is literally behind home plate and the center fielders have a very difficult time trying to see high pop-ups here. See if the Sharks can use it to their advantage.
You see Horacio Ramirez one hit through three innings, facing a minimum nine batters.
Yeah, it's because he got that double play back in the second. He's pitched a heck of a game. Very impressed with him.
Only one hit. He's doing very well. Yasser Gomez up to bat for the River Sharks. Left fielder.
Gomez 0 for 1 with the ground out.
Grounded out to the shortstop his last attempt. And it is called strike one by Ramirez.
Ramirez seems very good at picking on the black part of the plate.
And there is a off-speed pitch called strike two. So 0-2, only two pitches. Not where you'd want to be for the River Sharks starting this top of the inning. Bottom of the inning, excuse me. Another off-speed pitch again. That's on the outside corner for a ball one. 1-2 the count to Yasser Gomez. And the pitch. And it is dribbled to the second baseman. And that is going to be safe. That pitch went out hit went out very slow. Second baseman tried to make an attempt on it, but Gomez was able to beat out the throw by Travis Denker. Up bat next is Patty Matera, shortstop. Flew out to the center fielder last time. So man on first, no outs. Ramirez waiting for the pitch. He's set. And a swinging strike one by Patty Matera.
Tara 0 for 1 with the fly out to right field.
Could be interesting to see if they let Gomez try and steal a base here. Matera went up very aggressively at that first pitch.
Gomez seems like he's got some speed. Usually put your faster people up front. And as you see there, Horacio Ramirez throwing back to the first baseman, letting them know that they're ready if he steals. Second baseman not covering, though. And he bunts it over. Bunt stays fair. Great bunt. And the throw is not in time. So first and second for the River Sharks. Bad throw by Ramirez. Bounced it to the first baseman. Not enough juice on it to get it there. So first and second, no outs. Delwin Young up to bat.
And that'll tell you what a great team player Matera is. He leads the team in homers with four. The outfield was playing very deep. The infield was back. He saw that. Laid down the bunt for the hit, and that's just a heck of a play there by Matera.
And we're going to have a meeting. Manager coming out. Have a meeting with the pitcher to try to calm him down. Sean, all right, game going on so far. What do you expect to see as this game goes on?
Well, you see the Barnstormers leading 2-0 by the home run. I believe it was by Travis Danker. River Sharks trying to come back, trying to pick up a W.
I'm trying to figure out what they'd be talking about here. The only thing... You have your third hitter coming up in Young, the best hitter on the team. Maybe they're talking about some bunt coverages here at this point. But Young's a pretty good hitter.
And this is the same situation we saw last inning for the Barnstormers. First and second, no outs, and the Barnstormers did not bunt. So see here, if the River Sharks can advance to get some runners, two runners into scoring position and hopefully not get a double play as it's... Delwin Young up to bat.
Raul Padron on deck.
First pitch taken for a called strike one.
He's got a lot of room in right center field. The right fielder a little more towards the line. Center fielder over to pull. So that right center field gap is wide open.
Very, very open. Checks the runners. Here comes the pitch. Taken low. Skipped off the base. 1-1 the count.
Delwin Young, one of the few players here today who actually had major league experience. Young's been in 2012 with the Phillies in spring training. Spending most of the year with AAA Lehigh Valley.
As you mentioned, hitting 385 coming into this game, by far the leading hitter on the team. That's why they're not bunting here.
Here's the pitch taken outside, ball two. And with a player like Young in here who has major league experience, you can definitely tell a 385 average, one home run, nine RBIs. Definitely give him the chance to try to get a hit here. No outs. Just hope that he doesn't ground it into a double play. Here comes the pitch. Taken low. Ball three. So 3-1 count here. Definitely going to give him something to hit, hopefully.
Well, Ramirez hasn't put anything around the middle of the plate. He's definitely pitching carefully here to Young. If he gives him a strike, I don't think this is going to be one of those typical 3-1 strikes. He's going to try and go for something on one of the corners.
Here comes the pitch by Ramirez. Checks the runner at second. The pitch taken for a strike. So full count here to Delwin Young.
Probably a good idea for Young to look away. They went for the fastball away here. I wouldn't be pitching him inside. If I'm Young here, I'm looking for a pitch away.
He'd been pitching away the whole time. Ramirez set the pitch and fouled out of bound, out of the park. Hopefully it doesn't hit any cars. Strauss, you're parked over there. Hopefully that doesn't hit your car.
Went for the fastball away on that one again. Again, I wouldn't take a chance inside. There's a slight breeze blowing to center. They would probably stay away again.
And Ramirez set.
Nope, coming in.
And that is high, so there's a walk. Bases loaded, no outs. And up the bat is Raul Padron. 265 on the year, two home runs and 15 RBIs. Struck out his last at bat. So River Sharks in a very good situation here with bases loaded and no outs.
And defensively, they're giving up a run here. They're playing back. Everyone's back. If they can get a double play, Lancaster, they'll take it. But a ground ball gets you a run.
Run would cut it to one. Ramirez set. Ball taken for a strike. 0-1 the count to Padron. And Ramirez pitching very fast throughout this game. His speed's picking up. And dribbled to the pitcher. He goes home with it, trying for first, and he's safe at first. So run does not score on that one out. Base is still loaded.
Well, Padron went up there a little extra aggressive. Got an off-speed pitch. Got it off the end of the bat. One of those cue shots. Gave a little slow spin back to the pitcher Ramirez. Got the easy out at home. They tried to throw to first, but not in time. That's just a great pitch by Ramirez.
Yeah, and didn't have enough speed on it to get it into play where you'd be able to try to, the runner would score with how soft that was hit. Was able to throw it to home, get the out, tried for first base, but was not in time. Eduardo Perez up to bat now. First pitch taken for a ball.
See Perez, the scoring opportunity with the bases loaded, one out. See if the Sharks start producing runs.
A swing and a miss on the second pitch. 1-1 the count.
It's a shame for the Sharks. A ground ball anywhere but the pitcher's a run. Unfortunately, they hit it to the pitcher.
Perez stepping into the box now. Ramirez waiting for the sign. Set. And swing down the line, and it's going to hook.
Oh, jeez.
Going to hook foul. And in the right field, they have a climbing wall set up for the kids, and I think the ball might have hit the kid that's climbing up the wall.
It just missed him by about 2 or 3 feet.
Scaring him a little bit here. Here comes the pitch. And that's a swinging strike. And two outs now for the River Sharks. Bases loaded still. Not being able to produce any runs. Two outs. Let's hope they can get something going here.
Ramirez did a real nice job. They went for that fastball away. That's the one that almost hit the young man down the right field line. They come in with the curveball from the lefty to the righty. Goes to your back foot. It's a very difficult pitch to hit, and that's why Perez swung through it.
Solomon Manriquez up to bat now. Catcher hitting 294 for the season. No home runs, three RBIs. Let's see if he can get that RBI count up here as Ramirez set. First pitch taken for a called strike one.
And even though we're in the fourth inning of the game, this is our first pivotal play of the game. Base is loaded now, two outs. This is one of those game-changer plays right here for either team.
Most definitely. And the pitch, and it's skied high in the infield. First baseman comes over. And that's going to do it for the fourth inning as River Sharks leave the bases loaded. You're listening to River Sharks Baseball on Sterling High School Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Come out to the River Sharks Heritage Night, where we do Italian, Jewish, German, and Irish Heritage Nights. One of them, for example, Saturday, June 8th, will be Italian Heritage Night. Gates open at 4:30. The game time is at 5:35. Your group code would be Italy. Tickets only $9, and your contact is Kim Curno at 856-831-0431, or you can email her at kperno, K-P-E-R-N-O, at riversharks.com.
See Chris and Mr. Strauss, Mike McGuire really rolling along. Ever since that two-run homer to Danker, he's really gotten his stuff.
And really a missed opportunity there for Camden with the bases loaded and nobody out, and just an unfortunate that they couldn't even get one run across the plate here. It's still really anybody's game here with just a 2-0 lead here for Lancaster as we head into the top half of the fifth inning. But really, guys, just a missed opportunity there. It's really all you could say about that.
And unfortunately, they couldn't capitalize on it.
Again, sun on its way out again now. It's
the sun is
on the way over here. It was pouring rain. We were wondering if we were going to get this game in. And now, nice breeze coming through here. And it's a really great afternoon here for some baseball.
I agree.
Sterling Athletics update on the way here as the girls lacrosse team will take on Robbinsville today on the road in the first round of the playoffs starting at 3 o'clock. So good luck to the girls lacrosse team in the first round of the playoffs.
see Gustavo Molina coming up here in the top of the fifth. First pitch, a called ball.
Called strike.
Called strike 1-1 on Gustavo Molina.
Molina singled back in the third inning, but was put out on a fielder's choice.
Ground at the third. And starter Bedrun, one down here at the top of the fifth.
Good thing about that play is the third baseman rounded the ball nicely. He did a little nice V-cut. Had a nice throw to first.
A nice backhand stab there by Martinez. Send it over to Padron for the out. And that'll bring up Homo Rosario.
Leadoff.
Yeah, back to the top of the order for the River Sharks. He singled back in the first, stole a base, and then grounded into a double play in the third.
Mike McGuire really, really rolling along.
Looks like he tried to offer a bunt there.
Called ball as he pulls it back. Ground to the third. What a play. Throw to first. And two down here in the top of the fifth.
The baseman there with a diving play. Had a nice slide. Curved around it. Got right up. Nice quick throw to first for the out.
And Martinez diving to his left. He had to dive to his right on the previous play, but dives to his left this time around and gets it over to Padron.
Quite acrobatic.
Indeed.
Martinez with both plays here in the top of the fifth.
Earning his paycheck in this inning.
I agree.
That's going to bring up Jerry Owens, who sacrificed bunt back in the first and had a run scored and singled in the third.
And he's going to get set in the box now.
First ball, first pitch for a ball, 1-0. See Travis Danker on deck. He had that big two-run homer earlier in the game.
Looks like he was looking to bunt there. Pulled it back for a ball.
2-0 to Owens.
This is the windup and the pitch.
Called ball, 3-0 to count to Jerry Owens.
Now let's see if he can effectively hit his spot here. He wants to try and get a strike. Stay above. Looks like he did it.
It's called strike, 3-1. Pitch from McGuire.
And
ball four as Owens walks.
It's a good eye there. You always want to be looking for something because usually the pitcher is under a lot of pressure at that point. He wants to make his strike. He wants to hit his location, but unfortunately he didn't do that. And as a batter, it's okay to get a nice walk, get a runner on base. Not always a bad idea.
That'll bring up Travis Danker, who is 1-for-2 with a two-run home run.
He's a difference maker right here in this game. Danker launched one over the left field fence over the Sleepy's Mattress Professional sign out in left field. And everybody's waiting for somebody to hit the bridge, but that's going to have to be about a 600-foot bomb.
Owens leads off in first.
Oh, and a
called strike.
And they
will be out at second.
And the catcher with the cannon down the second got him stealing on the delayed steal.
That's going to do it for the top of the fifth inning. Still 2-0 Lancaster. You're listening to WSHS Sterling High School Radio. We're back with the bottom of the fifth right after this.
Hello, and everybody, welcome back. Again, with River Sharks Heritage Nights, we also have Irish Night, Thursday, June 20th. Gates open at 6 o'clock, game time at 7:05. Your group code is Irish 100, or Irish. Tickets only $5. Your contact would be Mark Scheiber at 856-583-0031, or you can contact him by email at mscheiber, which is M-S-C-H-I-E-B-E-R, at riversharks.com.
See how the River Sharks respond after leaving the bases loaded with nobody out there in the last half of the fourth inning and in need of some runs there.
Pitching change as the Barnstormers bring in Brian Tallett,
a left-hander.
Get the numbers on him in a minute. Brian Tallett.
Tallett.
8 games he's been featured in, 12 innings pitched, has an ERA of 2.25, 7 strikeouts, 6 walks, and has scattered 8 hits in those 12 innings. Before we get ready for Shark Attack time here, I want to give a shout-out to the furthest distance listener I think we've ever had out in Anacortes, Washington.
Anacortes, Washington.
Anacortes, Washington, chiming in, one Mike Strauss, Lieutenant Commander Mike Strauss, listening right now. Thank you for all you do. We'll see you soon. Thanks for listening to Sterling High School Radio.
Chris Walker leading off in the bottom of the fifth. He's 0 for 1.
He's the 7-hole batter. Here comes the pitch.
Walker lines it out to the second baseman, one out, bottom of the fifth.
He tried to go for that first pitch hit. Unfortunately, it didn't get through. Looks like he got the inside of the bat and fortunately hit it to second.
That'll bring up third baseman Juan Martinez, who's 0 for 1 with a strikeout today.
And let's see what he's going to bring to the party here.
Really quick innings here for the River Sharks, minus that fourth inning.
A very quick inning.
Pitch from Tallett. Ball one.
Misses high. Very high.
Center fielder Burt Reynolds waits on deck.
Pitcher comes set.
Swing by Martinez, and it's 1-1.
It's a healthy cut by Martinez.
Looked like he got a piece of it. Catcher hung on to it.
Left fielder playing very, very deep. And center field and right field about midway. Wind now blowing out towards left.
Maybe that's something strategic that they're trying to do. I can't really tell.
Ball two, 2-1 the count. Usually Juan Martinez.
Usually as a center fielder, you want to keep everybody as even as possible, except for a left-hander shift. This is a righty, so I don't understand why the left fielder would be almost to the warning track.
Pitch from Tallett. Strike two, 2-2 on Juan Martinez.
Good location there.
Line score, Lancaster Barnstormers, 2 runs on 5 hits, no errors. Camden River Sharks, no runs on 3 hits, no errors.
And that will be a strikeout looking. Big old backwards K for the book.
As Martinez strikes out for the second time today, that'll bring up center fielder Burt Reynolds, who was 0 for 1 with a flyout.
Let's see if you can strain it out, get it down a little bit. A little Harlem shake going on right now. Oh, and there goes everybody start doing their Bernie, and everybody's dancing out there. Oh, man, the music stopped. Let's see what he's willing to produce here.
Tallett from the belt. Strike one on Chris Walk, Burt Reynolds.
Strike right over the plate.
Burt Reynolds flew out to center field back in the third inning. And this, if he goes down, this will be the fourth time in this game that the Camden River Sharks have gone 1-2-3 in an inning.
Called ball, 1-1 the count.
Now, if Reynolds can keep that same swing, keep it a little lower to center, that will be an effective hit. And depending on how the center fielder plays it, could mean extra bases. Big swing, but no contact. That will make it a strike.
That was just the ninth pitch from Tallett here in the fifth inning.
Steps on the rubber. Picks up his sign and gets set. Ball in the dirt.
2-2 the count to Reynolds. Tallett from the belt. Called strike three.
Another backwards K for the book.
Tallett strikes up two in the inning. End of the fifth. Barnstormers lead 2-0. You're listening here on Sterling WHS High School Radio.
And welcome back, everyone, to live action from Campbell's Field on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Frank McCluzy joined by Kevin Schulz, Matt Giambri, bringing you some live action here. So you got some fans on the field jumping around, doing a little jig, dancing. River Sharks still down 2-0.
And guys, I'll tell you what, McGuire really hasn't done a bad job. You know, he had the one mistake that Dankler, he made him pay for, with a 2-run home run. But for the most part, he's throwing strikes. And, I mean, this is a kid who was drafted in 2008 by the Cleveland Indians, spent time in their organization, was in the Phillies organization for a time, and has been with the River Sharks for the last 3 years. And for the most part, has really done a nice job.
And other than that home run, like you said, Schulz, he's been having a good game. He's let up 5 hits and 2 runs. But other than, I mean, it's not that bad of a stat. He's still pitching very well. Still in the game right now. Travis Dankler up the bat now. His last at bat, he had the home run.
Yeah, and on some of those hits, you got to give the hitters credit, man. He hit his spots, and they just took the ball the other way, and they were just good, solid hits. Nothing you can do about that.
Dankler up to bat now. First pitch called for a strike.
And Matt, talk about how important it is to keep a hitter like Dankler off balance with his power and his ability to hit the fastball.
Yeah, especially he did have a home run already this game, so we know he has power, so you don't want to give him anything up or in. You just stay away from him, but, I mean, you don't want to, walk him. Just try to get him, to ground out. And he gets him to pop out now.
Flying sky ball to the second fielder. Catches it and retires Dankler. So one out here.
And it's funny, Matt, like you said, how a lot of the hitters are hitting the ball the other way, going with the pitch. And what you saw from Dankler right there is typically what you'll see from a young power hitter who likes the ball inside, likes to pull the ball, tried to go out after the ball on the outside part played instead of hitting the other way, tried to pull it and hit the pop-up.
Yeah, he didn't commit to that one and send it flying high to the second baseman.
Darryl Ward up the bat now, first baseman. McGuire waiting for him to get set. Here comes the pitch. Taken for a called strike one. 0-1 the count.
McGuire, a big kid, 6'7", 230 pounds. So, yeah, that's the type of size when scouts look for pitchers. That's something they want.
Check swing goes around. 0-2.
Good velocity on his fastball and nice change of speed on his changeup.
Good location.
Gets a lot of hitters off balance.
0-2 count. Here's the pitch. Swing, bounce to first base. First baseman drops it, throws to McGuire, and there's your second out.
That was a good play by the first baseman. He dropped it, he bobbled it, but he stayed with it after and got the out.
It's a good inning going on so far.
We got 2 outs in the top of the 6th now.
2 up, 2 down. Ryan Harvey up the bat now, right fielder. No action from either bullpens.
Yeah, the Barnstormers had somebody warming up earlier.
First pitch taken low for a ball one. 1-0 the count.
Right now the first baseman is playing really far over towards second. Giving up a lot of room on the other side.
Pitch chopped down to the third baseman. Over to the first baseman. 3 up, 3 down. No hits, no men left on. We'll be back for action on Sterling High School Radio right after this. And welcome back, everyone, to live action from Campbell's Field here in Camden, New Jersey. Frank McClosey joined by Matt Giambri, Kevin Schulz. Bottom of the 6th inning, River Sharks up to bat. And I believe we have a new pitcher in now for the Barnstormers.
That's Brian Talley, number 54. And, you know, guys, you look at this game, obviously Ramirez had some quick innings. One, I believe, was a 7-pitch inning. But the one thing, even though the River Sharks didn't score and obviously they left runners on base, they got Ramirez to throw a lot of pitches in that 4th inning and were able to get him out of the game. Now they're into the bullpen.
Yeah, left the bases loaded in the 4th inning, I believe. Get a lot of pitches up there. Yasser Gomez up to bat now, top of the order for the River Sharks. Umpire talking to the catcher.
This pitcher isn't much of a strikeout pitcher. He's more contact. He only has 7 strikeouts so far this year in 12 innings.
So let's see what he has to offer here. Waiting for the sign. First pitch. In there for a called strike one.
Another tall pitcher here.
Waiting for the sign. Here comes second pitch. Off-speed pitch on the outside. 1-1 the count.
Now, right now, the outfield's playing really far towards left field. Center fielder's real towards down the third base line. Guess they're playing from opposite.
And the pitch.
And he goes that way.
And he goes to the opposite field, and there is a single for Yasser Gomez. So man on base now for Paddy Matera, shortstop.
And interesting you say that, Matt, because with that Gomez, you remember that first play of the game, the ground ball that he thought he'd beat out went the opposite way. So, you know, you talk about this league, and I don't know if they have a scout as much as they would at the major league level, but at the same time, they have a pretty good book on Gomez, and obviously they knew he was going to go the other way.
Tara hitting .298 on the season, 4 home runs, 7 RBIs, and a throwback to first. Keep Yasser Gomez honest over there. I would not be surprised if he tried for a steal here, try to get a man into scoring position.
No, he's a kid with a lot of speed. Again, we saw him run out that first ground ball of the game as we look at the pickoff attempt.
Catcher throws behind him.
That pitch taken for a ball. 1-0 the count to Paddy Matera.
River Sharks are going to try to get some runs up on the board.
And a swing and a drive deep to left field, and it's going to fall. And here comes Yasser Gomez, and he is going to score. So just like that, we got a 1-run game. Yasser Gomez scores. Paddy Matera with a deep drive. Thought it was going to go out for a little bit, but he'll stop at second with an RBI. And the River Sharks are right back into this game with no outs, man in scoring position for number 5, Delwin Young.
And the Barnstormers were playing shallow. What that enabled Gomez to do from first was break pretty much off the little bit after he saw the ball going into the gap right there. He knew nobody was going to get it. And with his speed, he's able to get around third and get home with the River Sharks' first run of the game.
So Delwin Young up to bat now. Just one like home run on the season. And that gets through the hole.
Chopper through short and third. Got it right in between there.
So Delwin Young to first. Paddy Matera does not have the speed to try to round to go for home. So runners on the corners, no outs. And Raul Padron up to bat now for the River Sharks. Hitting .295 on the season, 2 home runs, 15 RBIs. So River Sharks getting a little bit of momentum now in this part of in the sixth inning. Let's see if they can tie this game up with runners on the corners, no outs, and the momentum.
Yeah, the catcher just walked out to the pitcher a little bit ago to try to calm him down. He needs to work, get a ground ball, maybe a double play up the middle.
And a first strike, a swinging strike, first pitch, 0-1 the count.
Well, this is the matchup if you're the Barnstormers you want with the left-hander, Talay, going against the lefty. Talay looks like a guy who's really tough on left-handed hitters with that breaking ball.
And there is and that's going to be a run. This game is tied up.
Base hit right over the first baseman.
And there's some action in the Barnstormers bullpen now. So just like that, River Sharks have tied up this game 2-2 in the bottom of the sixth inning. No out, runners on first and second.
That's a real nice piece of hitting by Padron right there. Shortened his swing a little bit. Didn't go the other way, but I think the key is when you're going against a guy like Talbot, especially if you're left-handed hitter, you've got to stay back. That's what he did right there. Was able to poke it over to the right side. And just like that, the River Sharks tied the game.
Eduardo Perez up to bat now for the River Sharks. Hit 233 on the season. No home runs and six RBIs. Looking to bunt to advance the runners. Nice bunt. It's going to go out of bounds. Excuse me, going to go roll foul.
Well, that's what you want to do here with first and second. You've tied the game. Move the runners over with nobody out. And really have to get that bunt down.
So 0-1 the count. Most likely going to see Perez bunt again to move these runners. Try to get a lead here.
And you don't need that perfect drag bunt just to hug the line. You need something that obviously doesn't pop up and you know, does not hit that hard, but just to get it on the ground and force them to make a play and move the runners over.
And Perez squares the bunt. Tillett looking back at second base.
Yeah,
trying to go for a pickoff.
I'm surprised he tried bunting that down the third baseline. Usually with a man on second and try to get him over to third, you would bunt it down the first baseline, but
squared the bunt again is Perez, and it goes down the third baseline again.
Ooh, good bunt.
Very good bunt indeed. And that sacrifice is successful. Runners on second and third. One out. And Solomon Manriquez up to bat now for the River Sharks. And I believe this is going to be a pitching change as the manager comes out now for the Barnstormers.
And it's amazing when you see how many major league players have a tough time bunting.
Yeah.
You know, which you see how important it is in a tight game like this, in a situation like this where you just want to move the runners over and put them in scoring position, and they were able to do that.
And with this pitching change, we are going to go to a brief break. Listening live to River Sharks action on Sterling High School Radio, WSHS. And welcome back to live action here at Campbell's Field, everybody, as a pitching change is underway now for the Barnstormers. Jay Buente coming into the game now. He's pitched in five games, 19 innings. He's let up 17 hits, 13 runs, 10 walks, 9 strikeouts. He's got one win on the season, 3 losses. And he has got an ERA of 5.03. So with Tillett letting up 2 runs and tying the game, we'll see how Buente does now for the Barnstormers.
I can't help it. We talked about it, how important it was to get to Ramirez, get him to throw a lot of pitches, get to their bullpen. Obviously, you're a little bit disappointed in that fourth inning, leaving runners on, not to get anybody able to cross the plate. But at the same time, that's the first inning you really made Ramirez throw a lot of pitches, and it's led to this. Get to lay in the game, get to him, get some runs, get a couple runs
now
with a chance to get more.
Looks like we have the trainer.
It looks like a trainer's coming out onto the mound now to talk to Buente. You got the manager, catcher, umpire, and trainer up to the mound now talking to Buente. And now with the trainer out there, looks like somebody else is warming up now. So we might have a second pitching change. Looks like that's what it's going to be. I guess Buente not feeling it today. And he is going to be out of the game now. And we're going to have a second pitching change in now. We'll see who's coming into the game for the Barnstormers.
And that's tough for a pitcher to come out there. Obviously, you want to get in the game, but, you know, obviously we've seen what's happened at the major league level. Roy Halladay trying to pitch through pain, and it never comes out good. So, I mean, give credit to Fuentes just knowing he didn't have it right there, taking himself out of the game. And again, we
and right now
get
we
deeper
have
into the bullpen.
Yoslin Herrera coming in now to warm up. To cover for Buente, who was just not feeling it right now. And let's get the stats on Herrera.
Yeah, he's pitched in 10 games with 9 innings pitching. He has about a 9.31 ERA. Got up about 11 hits, 12 runs, 10 of them earned, 6 walks, 12 strikeouts. And he's 0-1 so far in the year with 3 saves.
Now, guys, right now we have a decent break going on right now, Schultz. Who do you think this break's going to help more, the River Sharks or the Barnstormers?
Well, you're getting some momentum. I think it's really hurting the Barnstormers. Anytime you have to go deeper into the bullpen, it can't be a good thing. And unfortunately for the Barnstormers, this is due to the injury you had to Buente right there. But this is a tight game, and it's just one of those things. It's the type of game that I think is going to end up going favoring the team that's able to do the small ball things. We're seeing a lot of small ball play, moving the runners over, getting your bat on the ball, and I think that's going to be the key from this point on.
With the exception of the home run, with a home run by Denker and the double by Young, I haven't really seen much long. It's been a lot of short ball, a lot of singles and grounders and just advancing runners.
Well, for the most part, you've seen a lot, especially against Ramirez, a kid who throws pretty hard, was trying to work the outside part of the play predominantly, mixed it up, but you saw a lot of balls hit the other way. And that's what you have to do. I mean, you look at the major league level, two of the last three World Series winners, the San Francisco Giants, really didn't wow you with their lineup, but they did all the little things in advancing runners, moving runners over in key situations. And when you have a team like that, they tend to be better hitters against pitchers that come in games and have better ERAs. They're better hitters against the better pitchers. Whereas, you know, we'll go to our Phillies. I think the frustration with the Phillies, a team that goes for the long ball, is that you get the strikeouts, you don't get the quality at bats.
Right.
And we have Mr. K.
Enjoying himself a little bit. So you think he can
Finley,
dance?
River Shark mascot, dancing, doing a decent job. Or at least he thinks so.
Just to recap this bottom half of the inning, two runs were scored, runners on second and third with one out. We're here live at Campbell's Field in Camden, New Jersey, giving you River Sharks action against the Lancaster Barnstormers.
And again, one of the finer minor league ballparks you're going to see. I mean, you can't beat the view with the bridge out in the outfield. And I know you guys have said you've been to some games. I don't know if you've been to any night games. Really looks great at night.
And I think it's every Friday they set off fireworks after each game. So it's nice. Strauss was telling us on the ride up, he likes to bring his kids here. It's a great atmosphere. The ticket prices are very reasonable. Instead of you're spending twice the money to go to a Phillies game where you can't really see that well, there's no seat in this stadium that you can't see. It's a great atmosphere for kids, as you see. Education Day here. A lot of schools at the park. And we are getting set to get underway as Solomon Manriquez is going to be up to bat now. And then we are getting ready here. First pitch is taken for a called ball one.
We have one out here. Man on second and third. Let's see if they can maybe get a deep fly ball, bring in another run.
And the pitch, a swing, strike one. 1-1 the count for Manriquez.
And you have everybody up, so it's not just a situation where you have the corners up. Ball goes to second. They're going to look, and if the runner breaks, he's going to come home.
Herrera waiting for the sign. He's set, and the pitch. Ball low for a called ball two. 2-1 the count.
Yeah, you see the outfielders, well, at least the left fielder and the center fielder, playing real deep right now. Right fielder's in a little bit. So, fly ball out to them, should score a run.
And here's the pitch. Taken low for ball three. 3-1 the count.
And that's it, with a 2-1 count, runners on. You don't want to go after anything that's other than the perfect pitch with the 2-1 count. Same situation here with count running to 3-1.
Waiting for the sign is Herrera. Manriquez is ready. A pitch by Herrera is going to twist, and it's going to stay fair. One run's going to score, and another one coming home. Play at second is not in time. Play at the plate, not in time. So two runs scores for Manriquez as the River Sharks take a 4-2 lead here in the bottom of the sixth inning.
That's just good hitting right there. Man on second and third, he put it right down the right field line, double, scored two runs.
And that's what we talk about, going with that pitch on the outer part of the plate. A lot of times you see hitters trying to pull everything, went with, and that's the best case scenario to get into two runs with a double down the right field line.
And putting those runners into scoring position definitely helped a lot for Manriquez as he hits it down the right field, into right field, stays fair. Two runs scores. Chris Walker up to bat now for the River Sharks. First pitch taken for ball one. So Herrera coming into the game, not expecting to come in with Tillett having a little bit of an injury, or Puente it was. Next pitch fouled away, and I guess he might not have been ready, giving up two runs just like that.
Yeah, that's tough calling him in right now. He didn't think he was going in. They brought in the pitcher, and he came to the mound, and he was hurt. So he had to hurry up and get warm.
You got to imagine he's still not definitely warmed up yet. He only threw a couple pitches in the bullpen and then came out, threw a couple more. So he's still trying to loosen up a bit, as you can tell, with giving up those two runs.
And to that batter, he got down to a 3-1 count, so he was struggling trying to throw a strike, and he left the last. He had to leave it up a little bit, but hitter took advantage of it.
2-1, the count now for Walker, and here's the pitch by Herrera, taken outside. 2-2.
And give credit to the River Sharks. I'll tell you what, they could have gotten frustrated early, especially after that fourth inning, and tried to tie the game, do everything in one at bat, but they stuck with their approach, stuck with small ball, moved runners over. Only have Manriquez right there get the two-run double.
And that's going to be a ball three. So full count now for Chris Walker. Let's see what Herrera is going to throw here. And a called strike three.
Yeah, that pitch looked like it could go either way. A little bit on the outside corner.
Walker seemed to be a little upset on that one. Thought it was a little more outside. Nonetheless, there's a K for Herrera. We have Juan Martinez coming up the bat now, hitting .238 on the season, 7 RBIs. So man on second in scoring position, two outs. River Sharks with a 4-2 lead, scoring all four runs in the bottom half of the sixth inning as the first pitch swung on and missed by Martinez. 0-1 the count.
It looks like Herrera is feeling a little bit more comfortable out there now, getting a lot of swing and misses right now. First pitch strikes. That's always a good sign.
Always want to get ahead in the count, and Herrera is doing so right now. Second pitch is another swing and a miss by Martinez.
Two things I like, guys. He's locating his off-speed pitches, and then right there, after the off-speed pitch for the strike, comes back with the fastball.
Martinez 0-2 with two strikeouts, so he's not feeling it right now as he's in 0-2 count. Here's the pitch by Herrera, and swung on down the first baseman scoops it up, and that is the end of the sixth inning as the River Sharks score all four runs to take a 4-2 lead. We will be back with action here on Sterling High School Radio, WSHS.
Sterling High School Radio, live from Campbell's Field in Camden, New Jersey. River Sharks lead it by a score of 4-2. Want to give a special shout-out to the marketing department of the River Sharks here. Former graduate, former Sterling High baseball player, Dave Kohler, has done an outstanding job of hooking us up. This is our second time we've had a chance to come out here and broadcast the game. We'll be back in June as well to broadcast the game. And guys, it's been a great experience. How's it been for you so far?
It's been great. I couldn't ask for a better experience. How about you?
Wonderful game, great weather.
Also want to give a shout out to Adam Lorber, who okayed this for us to be out here. We're up here in a luxury box just off of home plate. Get a great view and really enjoying what's going on here, and gives our high school kids an opportunity to continue off a little play-by-play experience. So guys, let's take it away as we move on here in the seventh inning.
Up to bat now is the Lancaster Barnstormers. They are down by two. So let's see if they're willing to produce two runs to tie, possibly three, to take the lead.
That was a big inning last inning.
It, four really runs. It was a long inning.
And with the injury and changing the pitchers, but the Sharks really needed that.
Now up to bat now is number two, Blake Galen. He's the left fielder. First pitch looked up high for a ball.
River Sharks scoring four runs on five hits last inning.
Here comes the pitch. And that will be a strike right down the middle. Batter takes a look down at the first base coach, and we'll get back set in the box again. Pitch from the windup, and it bounces in the dirt. Umpire will turn the ball to him, and here comes the bat boy to go get that ball. Pitcher gets set. And that looks like a ball. And the pitch. Ooh, hits him in the ankle. Pitcher in the ankle. And it's right to the first baseman for the first out of the inning.
McGuire did a good job there. Was hit back at him at a shot, and he just got off his ankle, as you mentioned, but he stayed with it to make the play.
Looks like they're going out to make sure he's all right.
McGuire, ever since that two and home to Danker in the third, he's really found his stuff, pitching in the seventh inning.
He's done a real nice job of mixing in a changeup, a curve, with a pretty decent fastball.
Now up to bat now, Kevin Howard. He's the DH.
McGuire has now retired five straight batters going back to the fifth inning.
McGuire is doing a great job now going into the seventh inning. And the crowd is cheering quite a bit. Here comes the pitch. And he'll take that pitch, and it's a strike right down the middle. Let's see what Galen's willing to do here.
Howard 0 for 2 with two ground outs.
Big swing, no contact.
See, that's that curveball I was talking about in that last pitch. Way out in front of that was Howard.
It's always good to mix the batter up a little bit.
Wow.
Oh, it's close.
But the catcher, Manriquez, thought that was a strike. That looked like a strike up here.
Maybe it did. And here comes the pitch from McGuire. Strike three, backwards K, swung looking, and they'll go around the horn here.
Well, if you're a young ball player listening, if you let a close pitch go, like Howard did there, if there's another close pitch, it's going to be a strike. You better be swinging. Howard didn't do it, and that's why he got rung up.
And if it's something you don't like, you always got to foul it off.
Mm-hmm.
Up to bat now is Cody Kirkland, number eight. He is the third baseman.
Kirkland 0 for 2 today.
What did he do his last at bat?
Yeah, flew out to right field.
And the pitch is high. That's a ball. Count is a 1-0. Pitcher starts his motion to the plate, and a pop fly down the right field line. And that is in the fit and fun zone where the kids are. A few innings ago, foul ball was hit. Kid was climbing up the rock wall there, hit the rock wall.
Yeah, you could almost call it the hit in no fun zone if that happens to you at that point, man. That would have hurt a ton.
Shook him up a little. Kid's going to have nightmares. Here comes the pitch. And he takes the pitch inside for a ball.
And what's amazing is they have a protective fence. It's about 30 to 40 feet high, but it goes over the fence and angles into where the kids are.
Exactly. Not really doing much of a protection there. Swing and a miss. Catcher will miss the ball. And there comes the bat boy again. Doing a great job.
McGuire, 6 2/3, giving up two runs on five hits. Really finding his stuff today.
He's been fairly consistent throughout this game. He's done a very nice job.
Kind of resembles Josh Hamilton if you look at him from up here.
He does.
McGuire starts his windup and the pitch, and he'll take it.
Manriquez having a heck of a job holding on to the ball the last couple pitches here.
A catcher at this level, you need to be able to hold on to the ball. It's one of those things that you can't let happen, especially when there's guys on base. Batter set in the box. And a nice hit. And the center fielder caught the ball. The only problem with that is, as a center fielder, you want to take your first step back. Unfortunately, he took his first step forward. He did manage to make the catch, but always remember his first step back. That will do it for the top of the seventh. You are listening to Camden River Sharks Baseball here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio.
Welcome back, Sharks fans. We're in the bottom of the seventh. 2013 baseball camps. Three camp sessions, June 24th, 27th, July 29th to August 1st, August 26th to 29th. Campers receive official camp t-shirt, lunch each day. Members to the River Sharks Kids Club presented by Pizza Hut and a River Sharks game ticket. Campers will receive instruction from Rutgers Camden coaches.
Strauss over here having a little fun in the box.
Contact Kim Perno at 856-831-0431 or email her at camps@riversharks.com.
Okay, and we have Herrera pitching. Fortunately, they went through a pitching change in that long, long sixth inning.
Yeah, it was a big inning, as we mentioned, for the Sharks. The big play was the double by Matera. They scored four runs in that inning to lead it 4-2. As we get set for action here after the seventh inning stretch.
It is still 4-2.
Matera entering your second inning of work.
I want to give a shout-out, by the way, to our Sterling baseball team. Just received the number 2 seed in Group 2. And we'll host the playoff game on Monday versus Pemberton.
Number 22 up the bat here, Reynolds. Reynolds has been doing his job. And let's see what he will produce. And Herrera here in a little bit of a hybrid stance. Looks like a called strike.
Now they took that one outside. It was because the umpire is real deceiving with giving his calls.
It really is. Well, that'll go straight ball. And a foul tip straight back. And that will hit the Camel's Field sign. Close to it.
Mr. K, if you look at Herrera's pitching stance, it might remind you of Doc Gooden, pitcher for the Mets in the late 80s.
Yep, pitches off the left side, angles his foot.
And a foul ball. That will put two strikes on Reynolds.
He's got pretty good velocity, too. He came in with an off-speed pitch, kind of a change-up type curve pitch there. That was pretty interesting. Made a tough play for Reynolds.
Better get set in the box. Ferrer starts it. And the pitch. And a shot to center field. He's tracking it. And he will make the catch at the warning track into the wall.
It's a real nice play by the center fielder, Jerry Owens, who was standing about midway out in center field. He turned and went for the ball and caught it on the rim of the warning track. Not an easy play.
Tracked it very well. One out here in the bottom of the seventh. And we have Yasser Gomez up the bat.
Gomez singled and scored last time up.
Yes, he did.
His two hits on the day.
And a foul ball down the third base line. That will put one strike on Gomez.
You can see the velocity of Herrera there. That one really handcuffed Gomez, who hit it inside out down the third baseline.
Pitch comes in, a ball. Count is 1-1 here. Starting to see some of the fans start to leave the stadium.
We'll get to that after this pitch. It's inside for a ball. What happens is you have a lot of schools that are here with bus trips, and they reach a certain point, and it's about 1 o'clock here, so maybe 1 o'clock is their checkout time for the bus.
Guess it is. Here comes the pitch from Herrera. And a nice hit to left field. A one hop to the left fielder. Will field it cleanly. Throw it in.
That's an amazing hit for the fact that they were playing him completely inside out. Blake Gallen, the left fielder was about 30 feet on the line. He was in perfect position. The ball just didn't have enough smoke to get to him.
He was in a good position to field it. Wasn't too far over to the right, but he was playing very close to the line.
If he's playing normal left field, that's probably a double down the line.
Yes. Right-hander Paddy Matera up. Hit a double last time. He will get set in the box. Right from the stretch, he will get set. And a pick off the first. He'll make it back in time. He is safe.
You mentioned Gomez's third hit of the day, all singles. really getting on, doing his job.
Manager's got to like that when you get your leadoff batter on 3 out of 4 times.
And he will take off. Catcher will pop up. Head first slide in the second. He will be safe. Not too much backup there from the shortstop or the center fielder.
That's one you steal on the pitcher. You saw he had about a 4 or 5 step jump before the ball was released by Herrera. That's just great base stealing by Gomez.
Herrera will step on the mound. It's on the rubber. And Gomez will take his lead from second. And a strike to Matera.
Matera took that off-speed pitch, thought it was low.
Matera with that clutch double last time up.
That's probably the hit of the game thus far.
Well, there's a man in scoring position. Let's see if he can bring him around home. Looks him back, then the pitch. Inside for a ball.
Herrera's really working the off-speed pitch here to Matera.
Herrera getting set. Sounded like a broken bat, but it wasn't.
I'm pretty sure that was a broken bat as they retire him on the ground out the short. You'll see the umpire pick it up. That definitely sounded like a broken bat.
Yeah, it sounded like it. It didn't completely break away. The bat will come out and get it.
Seeing the Sharks bullpen, Mike McGuire really rolling along, no action in the bullpen.
And it looks like a pitching change here. Looks like they're bringing a left-hander.
All right, so what we will do on the pitching change, we are going to take a break here. Mr. Tolucci will let you take us to break here right now, if you would be nice enough to do that.
No problem. You are listening to the Camden River Sharks baseball game here live on Sterling WSHS, Sterling High School Radio. Hello and welcome back, everybody. We're in a bit of a pitching change. Left-hander number 44. Score is 4-2 here. The River Sharks leading it.
This is Derek Loop into the game. He is a left-hand pitcher, 220 pounds, so he comes in relief.
Derek Loop, he's pitched 9 games, pitched 8 innings, given up 10 hits, 10 runs. Let's see what he's going to do here. Still warming up.
It's kind of turned that much more overcast. We had the sun out for a little bit. The clouds have moved in. It's gotten a little darker. As we mentioned, a lot of the school kids have gathered behind home plate to take their buses and get out of here, getting a little bit quieter.
Yeah.
And the Sharks now just trying to increase their lead of 4-2 here in the bottom half of the 7th inning here in Sterling Radio.
See Dylan Young getting ready to come up. He was due to bat left-handed, but due to the pitching change, he will stay ready.
So it's interesting that you do make the change with the switch hitter. Apparently the manager saw something he liked with this matchup here as opposed to the other matchup.
And let's see what Young is going to do here.
By the way, the manager of Lancaster is Butch Hobson, who made that change there. Ron Karkovice, the manager for the River Sharks. Well, you do have first base open here with the dangerous hitting Young. Comes in hitting 385. He's got some serious power. They play him to pull and fairly deep.
Well, a right-hander versus a left-hander. Right-hander will be able to see the ball a little bit better. He'll be picking it up out of his hand. Looks him back. Pitch to the plate. And it's a strike.
That was a nice slow curveball to start things off there.
Loop comes set, looks him back twice, high leg kick, and a foul ball straight back. And the umpire will field it and throw it back to the pitcher.
You can see there that Loop went right at him with the fastball. And what a difference in velocity between the slow curve and the fastball. That'll wake you up.
It's always good to mix up velocities every now and then. You want to keep the hitters guessing and trying to guess what you're going to throw next. Leg kick and a foul ball. Watch your teeth there.
They got the hands up at least.
Yeah.
Darius Ian right field under the foul pole, the only retired number for the River Sharks. That's for River Sharks great Brad Strauss. Spent many years in here in Camden. He's even an assistant coach after he retired.
It's kind of cool for your coach to have your number retire.
And a pass ball, and he will easily take third base.
Well, the catcher Molina stood up like he wanted it high, but that was so high that Manute Bol couldn't have caught that one. Sometimes that happens as a pitcher. You're thinking, I got to get it high, and it went high.
It goes too high.
Yes.
Yasiel Gomez is on third for the third time today. Let's see if we drive him home.
And Yasiel Gomez, with his speed, if another pass ball could happen, which has been happening a lot lately, he will be able to take home. And a foul tip. Oh, and looks like the kids are fighting for it. And kid with the orange shirt just got the ball.
Well, you're in that time, as we mentioned. There's a lot of room now. There's a lot of buses have spread out here. So it's a free-for-all on foul balls.
It's fair game. Comes set. The pitch and a strike three looking backwards. K. That will do it for the seventh. Score is 4-2 here with the River Sharks leading. You are listening to the Camden River Sharks game on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. We'll be right back after these messages. Another Heritage Night we got German Heritage Night on Tuesday, June 18th. Gates open at 6 o'clock. The game time is at 7:05. Your group code is German. Tickets only $7. Contact is Dave Kohler at 856-583-0029, or you can contact him by email at dkohler, that is D-K-O-E-H-L-E-R, at riversharks.com. Auf Wiedersehen.
4-2 game right now. River Sharks are ahead. Pitcher's still warming up.
Again, want to give a huge shout-out to Dave Kohler, the aforementioned Dave Kohler, who, again, this Mr. K mentioned, an alumni of Sterling High School, and now working with the River Sharks, able to set us up with this facility. And they have a lot of really great events going on here. And over the course of, from now until the end of the school year, next broadcast and our final broadcast of the 2013 school year is going to be on June 6th. It's a Thursday as the Camden River Sharks take on the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs. And we'll have that live for you right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio, starting at 10:30 with a pregame show, and then obviously first pitch at 11.
Up now we got catcher Gustavo Molina called in for strike one.
Molina singled in the third and grounded out the third back in the fifth.
Yeah, third baseman robbed him of a hit. Made a nice diving play.
Right now this year, Molina's only batting a 154 and a swing and a miss.
0-2 in the count, just like that. Let's see what pitch he gets.
I'm feeling some sort of off speed. Change up. Or
yes, it was.
Change up.
Molina takes it to right field down the line. Looks like he's trying to leg out two.
Looks like he'll
get in there easy.
It's a good piece of hitting there by Molina. A right-handed batter just looped one right down the right field line, and Walker was nowhere near it. So a nice piece of hitting there by Molina, and now you have a runner in scoring position, tying run coming to the plate.
And that's something we're always taught, is that when you're down two strikes in the count, you want to wait the ball to travel, see it late, hit it late, go to the opposite side, was exactly what he did, and he managed to get a double out of it.
Just a defensive swing, but now he's on second, leadoff. Steps up to the plate is Almo Rosario.
Rosario singled to lead off the game.
In there for a strike, 0-1.
And then hit into a double play in the third, and then grounded out to third base on back-to-back. And really nice plays in that last at-bat.
Rosario right now is leading the team in batting average at .316.
Yeah, that was another play where the third baseman had a nice diving play, robbing of a hit.
And another good piece of hitting down the right field line.
Just curves foul.
Right into the Sharks' bullpen. If you haven't been to Campbell's Field here before, they don't have bullpens in the outfield, similar to Citizens Bank Park with the Phillies. All the bullpens are down the respective foul lines, and River Sharks obviously being the home team on the down the right field line, and then the Barnstormers down the left field line.
It seems as if a lot of the hitters are trying to go to right field now. which is a good philosophy when you're down. Chopper to short. Should be easy play. Gets you out at first. Runner stays at second.
Good one thing. Out. Shortstop checking back. Got the out at first.
It's going to bring up Jerry Owens, who sacrificed bunt back in the first and singled in the third, scored a run, and walked in the fifth.
Left-hander. Let's see if he's willing to go the opposite way.
Center fielder is really shallow right now.
The wind that was not a factor when we got here. In fact, I mentioned when we were walking in here how much there was literally no wind, and now you have the flag out in left center blowing from left to right, so maybe that's another reason why hitters are trying to pull that ball over to right field.
In for strike one, 0-1, one out.
Good to take the first pitch. See what the pitcher's one throw to you.
Here in the top of the eighth.
Pitcher gets his sign. Comes set. Looks man on second back. Here comes the pitch.
And it's a lazy fly ball to right field. And he makes the play. Runner stays at second. And good. We got two outs.
Good communication there between the right fielder and the second baseman. Sometimes you can get a collision in there if they're not communicating properly, which they did, and the right fielder came up strong with the catch.
Good job by Walker out there in right field, not only to call off Young, the second baseman, but also to make the catch. As Mr. K mentioned, the sun is out now here at Campbell's Field, and because of the time of day, it's almost like looking directly into the sun to try and make that catch.
So their leadoff double has been stranded at second for two outs. Got to try to find a way to get him in. They're down by two runs. Pitching. They don't have many more opportunities.
Pitcher and catcher just had a little bit of talk there. Catcher's now walking back and set his position.
And I'm sure they're talking about what they're going to do with Denker here, who hit a bomb over the left field fence back in the third. It was a two-run home run, the only scoring for the Barnstormers, and they have only had one hit since that home run.
And if you want anybody up to the plate right now, it's this guy. Called for strike one.
Takes that pitch. I'll
tell you what, McGuire's having a heck of an outing here today. Five hits, two earned runs. Check that, six hits.
McGuire about to go a whole game.
Yes.
Whole nine-inning stretch.
And the pitch is lined to left field. Should score the run. Up, and he holds him up at third. Nice hit.
Denker's been on point today with his hitting, taking the balls to the left field. Whether it's hitting him over the fence or in front of the left fielder, always an effective hitter. Let's see what they're willing to do with a man on first and a man on third.
Catcher giving out signs to the infield.
Let's see if they're willing to do any trick plays.
Some action down in the River Sharks bullpen now. Number 28, Jeff Farnsworth.
You got to think with a slower runner on first, they might, if he tries to steal, they might probably try to throw him out with a two-run lead. And it's low for a ball.
You can hear the wind really picking up on our on-field microphone there. It's really starting to pick up out there. Now the flag blowing straight out to right field.
The wind is definitely going to be a factor at these high fly balls.
And that's low for ball two.
And it's not just because the cars are going by the bridge. That's actual wind. Great backdrop here on the Ben Franklin Bridge here in Camden. And we see a lot of runners going to, and they have a unique walkway up there where you guys can go up there and go for a nice little run into Philly and then come right back into Camden.
And the pitch is outside for ball three.
In the right-hander's batter's box.
3-0 here, down 4-2. He's probably going to take. They'll do anything for base runners right now.
I have to wonder if McGuire can get out of this half inning, get this final out of this. Might be just about enough for him.
And it's low for ball four, which will load the bases.
Bases loaded here. Up to bat now is Ryan Harvey, or as we would also like to call him, Josh Hamilton.
They're going to have a nice little meeting at the mound here. No managers aren't out yet, but they're having a nice little chat with McGuire. The infield, with the exception of Martinez, comes in and has a nice little chat with McGuire. Probably trying to buy some time for Farnsworth in the bullpen. And then either way, a difficult scenario here, guys, for Camden, and trying to hang on to this 4-2 lead.
Yeah, they have two outs right now. They got to figure something out, try to get an out here.
Harvey's 1-for-3 on the day, singled back in the fourth. But an opportunity here for Lancaster to tie or take the lead.
Let's see what he's going to do. A nice place ball into the gap would score two, possibly three, depending on how fast the man on first is.
Wind still blowing out towards right field.
First pitch is a strike.
Infielders are all playing back right now, just trying to get an out with two outs. 0-1 count. And the pitch is swung on and hit to the third baseman. Foul.
Ooh, that was close.
That looked like that might have been fair from where we're standing. We are just off the home plate, the left side of home plate. That looked like a fair ball.
It did.
And Martinez picked it up, and I thought he was just going to step on third base. Lucky they did call that foul, because he bobbled the ball, and that would have been a run scored.
Yeah, he bobbled that and kicked it out towards the dugout. So they wouldn't have got anything on it. That would have been fair.
Schulze to my right is saying that was a fair ball, and that was just one that. And with the position of the umpires right now, you have the one umpire on the first baseline and the other umpire right around shortstop. So.
And it's hit on to the first base. Ooh, nice play. Gets out of the inning.
And that is the third out of the eighth inning. Okay, and you are listening to the Camden River Sharks baseball game here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. We'll be right back with the ninth after this. Just give another little heads up about the Heritage Night. Our last one here, we have Jewish Heritage Night, Sunday, June 9th. Gates open at 12:35, game time at 1:35. Your group code would be Jewish. Tickets only $7. Your contact is Joe Bartlett at 856-583-0026. Or you can contact him by email at jbartlett, that's J-B-A-R-T-L-E-T-T, at riversharks.com. Thank you.
We're coming up here in the bottom of the eighth right now. Riversharks are up 4-2. They obviously want to tack on some more runs, some insurance runs.
Lots going on in Sterling Athletics today as boys baseball team. You guys are heading over to Haddonfield after this game. You guys doing the whole day-night doubleheader.
Yep.
A morning-afternoon doubleheader, I guess. That means that girls softball will be home against Haddonfield today after coming off of a huge win against Overbrook last night. Missy Dow, a no-hitter.
It's pretty incredible. She's only a sophomore.
Yep, and she has a bright future.
And lacrosse, as we mentioned earlier in the game, having a away playoff game at Robbinsville starting at 3 p.m., so good luck to the girls' lacrosse team as they head up to Robbinsville. They're probably on the bus right now. Maybe they're listening. Good luck, ladies.
And up at bat right now is the first baseman, Raul Padron.
And let's see what Padron is going to do here. Pitcher comes set.
And it's high for ball one. See if they can get the leadoff guy on right now. There's still action in the River Sharks bullpen. Swung on and missed. Counts 1-1 to Padron.
No contact. Took his head out of that a little bit.
Yeah.
Padron 1-for-2. Struck out in the second. Grounded into a fielder's choice and then hit a single in the sixth and scored a run with an RBI.
Swung on and missed for strike two now.
Can't go for pitches like that. Pitches that outside. Especially when you take your head out, you have no chance of hitting.
Yeah, same kind of lazy swing on that one.
Let's see if he'll shorten it up a little bit. Batter zoned in.
And it a little bit outside, 2-2. The wind's really picking up now. Pitcher comes set.
Catcher sets up.
And swung and missed on the outside for strike three. We got one out.
Struck out swinging on another pitch that was outside, and with his swing, he will not be able to hit that.
All three of those strikes he swung on the outside pitches. Just didn't commit that way.
Reminder, if you'd like to get updates on anything going on in Sterling High School Radio, you can log on to Twitter and follow at Knights Radio. Get updates on this game and all the other, especially with the playoffs coming up as we look at strike one, swinging to Eduardo Perez. With all the athletic events, playoffs coming up for all the spring sports. Lots of action going on here. Stay tuned to Knights Radio on Twitter for all the programming updates.
And high for ball one. 1-1 count.
Ball one lets it go outside. Batter gets set in the box.
And he looks like it will be a fly out to left, and he makes a catch.
Left fielder took a nice route to that, met it on an angle, made the catch, made it for an out.
We got two outs now.
Two down.
Let's bring up Solomon Manriquez. Doubled and scored two runs. He's responsible for the game. Again, I don't want to say the game winner yet. I want to put a hex on everything, but the go-ahead runs from Solomon Manriquez. He doubled back in the sixth inning. 1-for-3 on the night.
Solomon. Up the bat.
Part of that big sixth inning where the River Sharks got all four of their runs as he looks at strike one.
Yeah, that was a... They were down 2-0 pretty much the whole game. In the sixth inning, they were able to get the first guy on and then the next guy, and they just worked out a little bit.
Luke
and
comes
they got some runs. Swung on and missed. 0-2 count now. Now see if he goes to a, more of a defensive swing.
Shorten up. Choke up a little bit. Put a nice little swing in it. Hit it over the infield.
Especially with the wind blowing out towards right. I mean, it'll be nice hitting it out there.
And loop with a pitch.
And struck out looking.
Backwards K.
There's three outs.
That's going to do it for the eighth inning. It's last chance time for the Barnstormers. No runs, no hits, none left on. It's 4-2 River Sharks. We're heading to the top of the ninth. Sean Calling, Kevin Schulz, Frank McClose is going to close it out for us. You're listening to WSHS, Sterling High School Radio. We're back right after this.
Sean Calling back here in the top of the ninth. Closer Adrian Martin comes on for the save. He enters with four saves in the year. Cannon leading 4-2 here in the top of the ninth.
And I'll tell you what, a nice job by Mike McGuire. All in all, really pitched a good game. Had the home run, two-run home run. Denkler started to lose it a little bit. You could tell he was tired there in that eighth inning, but I don't think Ron Karkovice wanted to go to his bullpen, wanted to just go right to the closer in the ninth inning. That's what we have here with Martin.
Yeah, McGuire definitely seemed gassed in the last couple innings. Being out there for as long as he was, shoulder starts to get tired after a while. Nice to bring in the closer, get him a little bit of experience as well. Camden has not seen many closing situations this year, so you got to get everybody as much practice as they can. Camden having an all right season, the record doesn't show up, but they're only three and a half games out of first place. So even with the record as it is, they're still in the hunt for this playoff situation.
Yeah, and it's interesting the way they played that out. I think in most cases in that eighth inning, you could really see where McGuire was struggling. But you know, we look back the last couple games and they've had a lot of runs scored them. So you have to think they've really gone to the bullpen a lot in the last few games, and that was one thing that Karkovice wanted to save there. He was able to do it, get out of the inning. Now you go right to the closer, Martin, here in the ninth.
McGuire in line for his second win if the lead can hold up here in the ninth.
And the closer getting a lot of warm-up time. He's been warming up the past couple innings. He's definitely warmed. He's ready to go. We'll see what he's got.
Blake Gallen leads off here in the top of the ninth. Pitch from Martin. In there for strike one.
And just the one last thing we'll say about it, you know, you have some managers who will say, hey, we'll get the put our closer in there for the last out of the eighth inning and then put him in the ninth. Some managers just want to put have their closer in there in the ninth inning. It's just a matter of philosophy. And like I said earlier, it's a matter of you know, not wanting to use anybody else there in that eighth inning because you probably really exhausted your bullpen over the past week.
And we're sure to see with the Phillies, I think it was past week, Charlie Manuel in Arizona left Jonathan Papelbon, brought him up for the eighth inning. Kept him in the ninth, went on to get the save.
And I know that's something that a lot of times Manuel doesn't like to do, but you've got to play it situation by situation. And I think it's a good thing to do. I mean, you don't want to play everything strictly by the book that you have yourself have established for yourself.
Allen to the shortstop, throwing over a Padron, and one out here in the ninth.
So one up, one down, just like that.
That'll bring up the DH, Kevin Howard.
And if you're the River Sharks, I mean, right now, obviously things are looking good if they're able to win this game. Good win on a lot of fronts. I mean, you have to like the pitching effort of Mike McGuire coming in, giving them a real strong start. Again, this is a team that's struggling right now to get good pitching and keep runners off the bases. And for the most part, other than that eighth inning, McGuire's able to do that.
First pitch is in there for a ball, 1-0. Howard 0-for-3 with a strikeout and two groundouts. Strike one to Howard.
I'll tell you, Martin doesn't look like a real big guy. You know, your closers a lot of times are those 6'3", 6'4 guys, but like a lot of closers, got a lot of life on that fastball.
The shortstop is under, and he will make the play. Two down here in the ninth inning. Adrian Martin out away from his fifth save of the year.
You know, we talked about McGuire, and also we talked at times about how River Sharks stuck with their approach, with the small ball approach, and it really paid off for them, especially in that four-run sixth inning.
Yeah, that sixth inning, definitely huge, able to get those four runs, get into the bullpen. We're able to get three pitchers in, one of them left with an injury, but nonetheless, four runs in an inning, getting the lead. Hopefully it'll hang on as a high.
Kirkland pops it up. Catcher is there, and the game is over. River Sharks win it 4-2.
Yeah, just a real nice win for the River Sharks. A lot of contributions on the offensive end. We talked about what McGuire is able to do on the mound, coming up with eight strong innings, something you can't ask for anything more from a starter here. And, of course, Martin coming in the ninth and just closing things out, doing the job.
And that's a big win for the River Sharks. Nice to get a win over this team who beat them a couple times in the series. I think it's going to be 2-1 in the series.
Yeah, just a great day all around. I know, obviously, from Sterling High School, we want to thank the River Sharks for allowing us to come on here. I think it was a great experience for everybody involved, and just a great thing they have going here. You see all the kids out here they brought here in the buses. Unfortunately, towards the end, as Mr. K said, a lot of them have to leave things emptied out, but it was really a great time by all, capped off by a big win by the River Sharks.
Look at the box score. The Lancaster Barnstormers, 2 runs on 7 hits, no errors. The Camden River Sharks, 4 runs on 9 hits, no errors. Mike McGuire gets the loss. He's 2-1. Pereira gets the loss. He's 0-2. Adrian Martin picks up his fifth save of the year.
And from this point on, like we said, in this Atlantic League, it's not so much wins or losses in the first half, because remember, they play two halves of the season. You could be in last place in the first half, get on a roll, win that second half, and get yourself in a playoff situation. So I think if you're the River Sharks, that's what you have to look for, and it's a good start getting solid pitching from Mike McGuire, and again, having Martin come in and close things out.
River Sharks now only, I believe, 3 or 3.5 games out from first place. So we're gonna go to a break now. We will be back with live action, a post-game show to follow. We'll be back right after this on Sterling High School Radio WSHS.
Welcome back to Campbell's Field here on River Sharks Baseball on Sterling High Radio, where the River Sharks have come from behind to win the game this afternoon by a score of 4-2. They get four runs in the sixth inning, the big hit, a double by Patty Madera. And, Kevin, when the game started, it was a little bit slow for the Sharks as they were facing Ramirez, but they got him in the sixth, and they were able to hold the lead.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing was the fact that that fourth inning, obviously coming out of it being very frustrated, leaving the bases loaded, Ramirez gets out of it, but you got Ramirez finally to throw a lot of pitches. Remember, prior to that, I think there was one inning, it was a seven-pitch inning, working very quickly, throwing strikes. But once you got to Ramirez, got him to throw a lot of pitches, obviously got him out of the game, got to the bullpen, that's what led to that big four-run sixth inning and ultimately led to the win.
So, Rob, the River Sharks come up with a win. It is their ninth win of the season, but us here on Sterling Radio got to be very happy. You got to be very proud of your students who stepped up and called a good game today.
I tell you what, they did a great job, and it's just a great experience for them and able to get out of class for day and get an outside of the Sterling High School experience and what's like to be up in the booth during like a real professional game, and that's why we're doing it.
And you tend to learn more, Kevin, by actually doing it than us telling about it.
Absolutely.
In school.
Yep.
So it's a great experience for these kids to get out here and do this.
I think the toughest part about this, Tad, is actually for the students to get out and finally getting over the hump of going on air. And I think once they get that experience, it kind of vaults them into doing more things. And maybe we'll do a baseball game next week or the mm-hmm. softball game next week, or maybe down the road with lacrosse. If they win today, they'll be on the roads. So we might need somebody on Sterling Radio to come with me and probably Shules or you or whatever. I don't know. I know with baseball you have a ton of stuff going on, but we're going to need these broadcasters, and this gives them that experience to put them kind of over the hump.
And Kevin, you and I have been announcing games for over 20 years. It was amazing as the game went on, as we started hitting the fourth inning, the kids kind of hit their stride.
Yeah, they did. And you and I always talk about how for us doing a game, even with Strausser there, it's just like us sitting there watching a game. We're just talking. And I think as things got going, the kids were thinking less about what they were saying and just talking to somebody in a conversational way. And that's it. Like we always say, this job becomes a lot easier when you become confident and, more importantly, when you become relaxed at doing it.
And that's why we're out here, to give the kids experience. I hope if you were listening along with this on our website that you enjoyed the fact that these kids are learning. I think they did a heck of a job. We were able to follow it along. They picked up on it real quick, gave some good stats, some good information, and heck, I never had this opportunity back in high school.
No, it is a great opportunity. We just hope, and you know, Rob Strauss had said it, that more kids take advantage of it. Hope these guys who came out today continue to come out, come on some broadcasts with us, because it's a great opportunity. As you said, Tad, that not a lot of schools out there have. I mean, you know, you have the TV, you might do a game once a month, but, you know, with all the games we have available to do, whether it's TV, which we do,
a lot,
10, 12 times, 15 times a month, and now we have the opportunity to do the radio games on the road live, it just opens up a lot of opportunities, and it was great to have these guys take advantage of what we did today.
And I was telling Frank on the way over here, Frank graduated last year from Sterling, was one of our seasoned veterans on a lot of the broadcasts, both on Channel 19 and on Sterling Radio over the last couple of years. I brought him on as like the alumni guy, but I was telling him on the way over here, this is just a fantastic opportunity, and it's so much fun to go out and be able to do this kind of stuff. And hopefully the kids are getting a kick out of it, and we get them in for next year. And it's great to have Frank back, but at the same time, we need these underclassmen to come in, because when he graduated, there was a whole slew of kids that graduated last year that we lost due to graduation. So now this is a way to get some younger talent in. It's our farm team, so to speak, and get these kids in here and get them ready for what's going to be a very busy spring with playoffs and an even busier fall coming up with football and soccer and everything else.
And it's neat to see as you walk in the building, here's Dave Kohler, a former student, former baseball player. He's working in the main office. He's trying to move on in his career, do what he can here with the River Sharks. We have a couple interns we met, former students that were in here working at the front gate, too. And, I mean, it's a neat little thing, and again, a neat thing for all, Kevin.
Yeah, what a great summer job coming out here. Obviously, there's work involved, but at the same time, if you're somebody who loves baseball, being out here in the summertime, you can't beat it.
And yeah, it's just a great opportunity. Our next broadcast is actually going to be, we have one left on the schedule here. It's going to be Thursday, June 6th, as the Camden River Sharks take on the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs, 10:30 a.m. pregame show with, I'm sure, all three of us, because it's the end of the school year. Why not?
Right.
And then a 11 o'clock first pitch with, I'm sure, a totally different crew. I know Connor Walsh of Sterling Varsity Baseball fame going to be out there. Ray Dunn is scheduled to be here. Paul McGrory, underclassman, as a sophomore, going to be out here. And probably a whole slew of student broadcasters going to get him out here, get him some experience broadcasting some baseball games, hopefully some more for us.
Yeah, it was a really good time. I want to thank the River Sharks and everyone for getting us out here. And guys, again, we're talking to the guys in the booth. Tremendous job. I hope they enjoyed it as much as we did.
Yeah, they did a great job. And some special shout-outs as well. There's going to be a huge festival on Sterling Radio, the first ever SHSTival. It's going to be an all-day live music festival set up by the students all day. We're going to be broadcasting outside right before Memorial Day weekend on Friday, May 24th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're going to have a lot of guests and prizes. And as Mr. K... Mr. K is going to be out there having a good time,
oh,
I'm
yeah,
sure.
You know it.
Mr. Riley's Foods Class is going to be out there doing a live barbecue session.
Yeah.
So he's going to whip up some treats with his Foods 2 or 3 class. Everybody's going to be out there. And some great giveaways coming around prom time. So make sure everybody tunes in for that. Update's going to be, you can follow updates on Twitter at Knights Radio.
And then looking forward to that. It's going to be an exciting afternoon. Again, we do have some future plans for the radio station. We hope this sometime have the opportunity to possibly be able to get us off the internet, stay on the internet, but also get us over the airways as well in our local TV and radio viewing areas for students who go to Sterling High School. So that is in the planning stages as well. We have a long way to go on that. So, again, it's just all about opportunity. These players out here in the field looking for an opportunity to play Major League Baseball again. Our announcers here looking for a broadcast opportunity.
Yeah, and I know the radio station, I mean, it's just opened up a whole lot more of, you say, opportunities for even the people out in the Sterling viewing and listening area to listen to games that they wouldn't normally listen. We go back to that volleyball game where we were on the road and they were able to listen live. Obviously, you have some parents who, you know, it's a very supportive group. Basketball, we did it, but at the same time, when you have those games back to back, they can't always get out of work early, but that enabled them to listen to some games that in the past they wouldn't be able to listen to.
And the basketball was such a unique experience, the boys going to the Group 2 South Final. It's a gym that only held 300, 400 people, and we have a student body of 1,200-plus, and that was an opportunity for Sterling Radio to go there. We had over 300 hits to our station that night, pulling the numbers the next day, which was really a great opportunity for to put us kind of on the map, so to speak. So
yeah, it'll be reflected in our Christmas bonus this year, too. We're very happy about that.
We'll keep you. We'll double your salary.
Double your, that's what you always say.
It's good to work with friends, the general manager.
GM.
So that'll do it from us here at Sterling Radio, live from Campbell's Field. The River Sharks win 4-2 thanks to some great pitching by McGuire for the River Sharks. They belt out 9 hits and come back in the 6th inning, score all 4 of their runs. Just a great opportunity. Schulze, thanks again. Mr. K, thank you. And to all the student broadcasters, thank you. Everybody at home listening, we are going to sign off right now. In a few minutes, what you can do is just refresh your browser and tune into some radio tonight. I believe it's a Led Zeppelin block tonight.
Yes, we'll be looking. You always, anytime you get some Led Zeppelin, it's good here. And the allergies are kicking in for Mr. Strauss as
dying
the wind is going
here
around. But great effort getting us out here. Thank you, Mr. Strauss. And, again, looking forward to it again next month.
All right, that'll do it for here at Sterling Radio. Everybody have a great night, and we'll see you next time. Next broadcast again, Thursday, June 6th. 10:30 against the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs. Everybody have a great afternoon. Thanks for listening.